This podcast is brought to you by AvWeb.com, world's premier independent aviation news resource.
Hey everyone, this is Paul Bertarelli reporting ahead of Air Venture 2018. I'm speaking to Andrew Barker of TrueTrack. TrueTrack, you will know, is a manufacturer of autopilots. They started in the experimental segment. Now they've branched out into certified aircraft. And Andrew, we covered what you had going on at AEA. That was back in April. Since then, you've had a lot of activity and a lot of approvals have come along for certified aircraft. So where are you now with approvals and what's coming?
Yeah, actually, we've had a lot going on. It's been a busy few months for us. Approval process is slow, but not slow because of anything going wrong. It's just, honestly, we're busy trying to keep up with everything. But approval process-wise, we have currently 172, 175, 177, PA-28, PA-32s are all approved. We're not shipping the 32s yet. There's a couple of changes we're making there. We have the 180, 182, and 185 paperwork into the FAA, just waiting on final approvals there, and then that's ready to go. We actually already have parts in-house for those. And the next type that we're tackling, we'll actually be showing this at Air Venture, is the Mooney.
Now, when we covered this at AEA, you were in the process of refining the installation kits for these things. And that's really important for these, isn't it? Because a lot of the expense in putting autopilots in relates to installation. So what are those kits like, and what's the refinement and development like?
Yeah, that's actually absolutely right. We work really hard. That's one of the things that we're trying super hard here to make sure we get right as much as we possibly can on the first kits that go out. But then, of course, as we get feedback from customers, we're working really hard to make those mods and make those changes to our instructions. You know, we try to cover all the aircraft that we have the approval for in big chunks, but you know, sometimes little airplanes here and there are just a little bit different. So we're on, you know, like third or fourth revision on installation manual on like the 172 that we've been doing the longest. So almost a year we've been shipping 172s now, and we're learning a lot through that process. Another big thing for us is growing our dealer network. So we had a few dealers scattered around the world, even when we were just an experimental company, but the addition of the certified stuff, our dealer network has tripled in size in the last 6 months. And that's another big thing that we're working on there is getting the dealer network up to speed and trying to get those good installation stuff to them. But, you know, like you said, we work really hard at installation. It's really important to us to try to keep the cost down when customers get an autopilot. You know, the cost of the autopilot is $5,000. That includes pretty much everything except for the STC, which is another $100. So you're $5,100 for parts. We don't want to see installs taking another $4,000 or $5,000. We like to see installs in the $1,500 to $2,500 price range. Now that can't happen in all parts of the country, but we feel it's our responsibility to have that refined installation so that we save the customer money there on the backside as well.
What do you figure the typical installation cost has been, say, a range?
Realistically, we're mostly seeing in the $1,500. That's pretty much the bottom, is around $1,500. And there's a handful of shops that are doing that. And I'd say the average is probably around $2,000 to $2,500. There's a lot of variables there, though. If you're talking about an airplane that it's a first-time install, there's never been an autopilot in it, it's actually a little less expensive because you don't have to take out something else that's in there. It also depends on what kind of GPS you're interfacing with. If we're just interfacing with a handheld GPS, then the cost is, again, going to be a little bit lower than trying to get to the back of maybe a GTN 650 or something like that. We've also seen a lot of cases where the autopilot is maybe the reason that the folks are taking the airplane to the shop. But now they're saying, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do the autopilot. Let's go ahead and do ADS-B. Let's go ahead and do, you know, an Aspen or a G5 or something like that. So we're actually seeing a lot with a lot of dealers that it's becoming a full panel upgrade. And we're happy about that, seeing maybe getting some increased safety, not just in the autopilot, but in some of the other areas too.
What kinds of things have you seen? So you've been through a year's worth of looking at installations and refining the installation kit. What kinds of things have you seen that have been surprising or that you hadn't figured you would encounter in the first place?
The only real issues I'll say that we've run into are just little differences in airplane to airplane. For example, on the PA-28, you know, the roll, the aileron cable, the push pull cable right there where it goes out into the wing, there's a couple of different models where it's shifted by a quarter inch one way or another, you know, little stuff like that. One of the bigger things that we saw is in the 172, our original installation design for the later model 172s was to attach the servo up to the front and actually drive the control column itself. We designed a new installation to pick up all the early models that went in the tail. And when we did that, we actually learned our tail install was so much easier than the front install that we ended up phasing out the front install, unless someone just really wants it. So that's been a thing where we were able to cut even more time out. We originally thought, hey, up front's better. It's going to be a shorter wiring run, all that sort of good stuff. But what we ended up with on our tail install, the hard mounting of the servo is literally about a 30-minute job. So, you know, that's kind of hard to beat, even if you have to run wiring and take a little extra time there. So we were able to cut a couple hours out of that install by going to the tail install.
Now, as far as the Vision Autopilot itself, it's a full-featured autopilot. Let's talk a little bit about some of the features that it has. It's by no means a stripped-down autopilot.
Yeah, exactly. We designed the Vision to be, originally, it was our middle product in our the autopilot line. We had a low-end single axis that you could add another single axis. It was pretty simple, pretty basic capabilities. And we have our Sorcerer on the high end that does full coupling to everything, you know, VOR, localizer, ILS, as well as GPS steering and all that sort of good stuff. So with the Vision, we get kind of in the middle. The Vision is designed as a purely digital, at least initially, designed as a purely digital autopilot. So we don't interface with VOR, localizer, ILS. Now, I will say that we're in talks with some EFIS manufacturers about maybe some ways to add some capability to the autopilot using a digital interface. But so the autopilot on its own, it's got a track selector. It's got the ability to fly a commanded bank angle if you didn't have GPS signal for whatever reason. We can follow a flight plan in your GPS, be it a handheld or a panel mount GPS. We've got altitude select, so you can climb, descend to any selected, pre-selected altitude. You've got vertical speed, climb, descent. We've, of course, got GPS steering and vertical GPS steering. So we can actually fly a coupled WASP approach down to our, you know, down to the our 700 foot is our limit on what we've got the autopilot currently approved for flying approaches and things like that is 700 feet. But, you know, but it's still useful, certainly, in getting you into the pattern and all that sort of good stuff. Some other neat features, some safety features we've got in there. We've got our emergency level button that we call AEP, Automatic Envelope Protection, that keeps an eye on the airplane. And you can turn this feature on and off, so you can kind of decide whether you want the autopilot to back you up or whether you got it today. So if you've got AEP turned on, or what we call standby, then it's just monitoring what the airplane is doing. And if the bank angle gets over 40 degrees, 45 degrees area, then the autopilot will engage the roll servo at a lower torque than usual and apply a corrective force. And of course, you get feedback on the display as well. So we're trying to help that base to final turn maybe and turns around a point, trying to help a little more safety with the loss of control side of things. We also, of course, have minimum and maximum airspeed. So I can't command a vertical speed climb or descent that's going to stall or redline the aircraft. We set those safely above stall and safely below redline.
Okay. Okay, so we'll close this out by saying where you are at, where you're going to be at AirVenture and what people can see there.
Sure. We're in Building C. I believe our booth is 3030. And then outside, we're just outside of Building C, and I think that's booth 174. So we'll have the Mooney there in the outside booth. and we'll be inside Building C in that booth there. And we'll have autopilot demos set up at both places. We'll actually also have our RV10 parked out in the North 40, so people can kind of stop by and talk to us a little bit there too.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
All right, you bet. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Andrew Barker of True Track Autopilots. You can see him this year at AirVenture. This is Paul Bertarelli reporting. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is brought to you by AvWeb.com, world's premier independent aviation news resource.